of God, which is contained in the scripture of the Old and New Testaments, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him. And we need rules. All we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned his own way. If we did not have the rule of God and rules given to us in His Word. And this is the only rule, just one, the Bible. He gives to believers. This is the rule that He's given us, that we may glorify God. This rule helps us to glorify God, and not only to glorify Him, but to enjoy Him forever. This is the one rule that gives us direction on how we can get to heaven, how we can be happy and blessed even in this life. And that's why I chose Psalm 1, because it talks about blessedness. And we all want to be happy. We all want to be blessed. But we typically think of being blessed or happy because of our sin nature. We think of it as in breaking the rules, not in keeping the rules. But that's why I think God says so strongly in His Word, over in many different places, that it's by keeping the Word, it's by keeping the rules that we are blessed. And so I'll go to my first point. Yet as much as we rebel against God's rule and our own chief end, we typically expect our own creatures to live up to their chief ends. And I have some examples here. I don't usually put illustrations right into my outline, but I thought these were very important, even though they are simple. And I thought I could ask my own questions. What is the chief end of a light bulb? Well, the answer, it's right there in your bulletin. The answer, the chief end of a light bulb or of a lamp, same thing, is to give off light. That's why we have light bulbs. They help us to see in dark places. And so the chief end of a light bulb is to give off light. Now, when a light bulb burns out, what do we do to that poor little defenseless light bulb? We take it without any mercy and we unscrew it and we throw it into the trash. It's useless. It's lost its use. And we have no qualms about it. Has any of you ever felt guilty about throwing away an old burned out light bulb? No. Why? Because it's no longer fulfilling its purpose. I have one light bulb still in my house that I haven't thrown out, that's burned out. But it's only because it's unique and I want to make sure when I go back to the store I buy the same one again. But other than that, and as soon as I buy that one, you know, I'll mercilessly throw that one away too. So my light bulbs have a chief end, and as soon as they don't fulfill that, we're tough on them. What is the chief end of a computer? This is a little more difficult. The chief end of a computer is to compute. And I've told the ladies, as we were studying contentment with Jeremiah Burroughs, how my computer, it was still computing, but it wasn't computing perfectly. And when I wanted to copy and paste, it wouldn't copy and paste. And sometimes it would mess up. When I tried to do this, it would mix up what I was messing with, and it wasn't computing right. And you know what? I would get angry with my computer. It felt the wrath of your pastor. Actually, it didn't feel it because I knew better than to hit it or do anything like that. But I wasn't happy, and it wasn't blessed or it wasn't favored in my mind at that time. And I've had computers in the past that have gotten so bad that they really weren't working at all. And what did I do with those? When they weren't computing anymore, when I knew that nobody on earth would want to buy it, though it's in the condition it was, I threw it away as well. Or I was angry with it. Now it's working. Now it's working fairly well. For some reason, I cleaned some things off in the sign of it, and the copying pasting is working again. And now it's busted in my mind, in my heart. So I love it. It's wonderful. Because it's fulfilling its purpose. The same is true. We typically treat cars, dishwashers, broken toys, anything else you can think of, if they're not fulfilling their purpose, if you have a car in your backyard and it just won't run, you don't usually keep it. You usually try to get rid of it. You usually do, and the same with I actually did have a dishwasher when I moved into this house. It had a dishwasher that actually didn't work, and I had to get a new one. Well, did I keep the old one that doesn't work? No. So all these things, dishwashers have a chief end of cleaning dishes. If you put the dishes in there and the dishes are dirtier than when they when you put them in the first place, that dishwasher's not going to get a whole lot of love from you. But God has, you know, when we think of this, we think we have a right to throw these things away. We don't feel any kind of pity for them. We don't feel sorry for them. They are our creatures. We made them, or somebody else made them and we bought them. But we don't feel any pity for them. And yet, when we think of God, He created us, and He created us for a purpose, to glorify Him and to enjoy Him forever. But what if we're not, we just refuse to do that? What if we decide we're going to curse God? What if we're not fulfilling our purpose? We're His creatures. We see in Romans 9, it says, and this verse is not in your outline, but Romans 9:21, does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? Can't the Creator, basically what that verse is, doesn't the Creator have a right to do with the thing that He's created what He wants to do with it? And we don't often think of God as our Creator in that way, and yet He does. And if we're not glorifying Him, if we're not serving Him, if we're not useful to His purposes, He as our Creator, who made us to do certain things, just like we made a light bulb to give off light, well, He made us to give off light. Jesus says we're the light of the world. He made us to praise Him, to glorify Him. And so if we're not doing that, and in order to do that, we need to follow the rules, don't we? Just like some of these things, especially the more complicated ones, you actually have to know how to work a computer to work it, to make sure it works. There's certain directions and rules, and we are complicated that way too. And that's why we have this Word of God here. Our blessedness in God's eyes is tied up with our fulfillment of our chief end, our purpose, our working according to His commands. And so our blessedness, just like the light bulb's blessedness is tied up in its giving off light, our blessedness, our own joy, is fulfilled or is caught up in us actually doing what we were created to do. And our blessedness, and that's what it says in these first two verses. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And so our blessedness has everything to do with God's favor towards us. I favor or bless my computer when it's working well. My sermons are on my present computer. It actually helps me to do what I do here. It's a wonderful thing. And yet, if it started walking in the counsel of the ungodly, and, you know, some people have had this happen with their computer. Some virus gets in there, and a computer can be ungodly. You could actually get pornography coming up, even though you didn't do anything to put it in there. You accidentally opened some wrong file. It happened to my mom once. Something got in her computer, and we couldn't even get it off. She ended up throwing it away because of this. And it starts with some kind of virus that way, and it gets in there. Well, when we're like that, It's the same for God. Our blessedness has everything to do with understanding His Word, His law, His rule. Psalm 1:2 says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law He meditates day and night. If we want to be sure that we're right with God, if we want to be sure that we're blessed, our delight will be in the law of the Lord. We're His creatures. This is our instruction book. This tells us how we are to glorify and enjoy Him. It's fairly simple when you think of that way, but this is the chief end that we have. Now, the ladies, I kind of warned of this next one. What is the chief end of a football? Now, you could think the chief end of a football is to be passed or kicked or thrown, and those are secondary ends. The chief end of a football is to be used in the game of a football. And the football, as humble as it is really exalted in our culture. I mean, to the point where it's almost ridiculous. You know, one of our greatest holidays is Super Bowl Sunday. And the football is really the star of it. Without that funny shaped ball, that game would be nothing. I mean, if you had a baseball to play football with, it just wouldn't work. And so while I was thinking this, football is a very complicated and loved game. And if you don't understand football, you need to actually to study it. And I'm not promoting football right now. I'm just saying this. It's a very complicated game. And some people, when they watch it, they have no clue about it. And so they have no joy in it. And football actually has lots and lots of rules. And some of the same people who say, we don't want anything to do with rules, somehow they respect the rules that are in football. I mean, if you started playing without the rules of football, that would be really sacrilegious to them. And while I was thinking about this, I looked on Amazon.com. Amazon.com sells all sorts of books. And I was wondering if there were any books about the rules of football. And they had several books listed. And when they sell their books, the people who buy the books can write in and they can tell you how good they think the particular book is. So usually a book, if it has 5 stars, and a lot, everybody who wrote 5 stars for it, it's a very good book. If it has only 1 star by it, forget buying that book. Nobody likes it. But I was looking at these kind of books, and I found this review, and I thought it was so good I had to put it in the sermon. 27 out of 27 people found this review helpful. And this young lady gave the book called The Idiots, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Football, 5 stars. She thought it was a great book. And here's what she writes. Her name is Jay Murphy, and she says, I'm a Chinese girl and never watched any American football games in Hong Kong until I married to, and this is her writing, so if the English is not good, it's because she's not English. I married to an American and moved to the United States 1.5 years ago. He is a football fan, and he keeps track of his team every day. Not to mention, especially during the regular season every Sunday, I started to watch football games with him, and I liked it a lot. Now I understand why so many Americans like football. I asked many questions while I was watching the game because I wanted to understand it more. Therefore, I read this book last year, and it gave me a lot of basic information in an easy way. More interesting is the book gives many statistics and facts that I was impressed by the football business. Anyone has no idea about football, this book can help. Now my husband was surprised that I knew football so well, and we discussed football a lot during the regular season this year. This book helps us to have more conversation topics. Now for this woman, her studying football was more was not only about football. I believe it was about her relationship with her husband. And she started studying and learning more about football. And doing that, she became so proficient at it, even though she was not raised in a country that plays our kind of football. She was able to talk to her husband better, and he sounds like a real football nut, and their relationship improved. Now, I'm not saying that that happens with everybody who studies football, and my point is not to promote football, but if the complete idiot guide to football and understanding the rules of football can improve a relationship with the Chinese lady and her American husband, how much studying the Word of God, which is much more weighty and important, and it's God's Word to us, how much more studying this, knowing the rules He has for our life, what rule has He given that we may glorify and enjoy Him? This is it. And this little lady went to studying this book about this game, and she improved her relationship with her husband. When we study this word, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, we improve our relationship with the living God. And so there's great motivation here to improve that, to study this, to get to know it. You know, if the football book deserved 5 stars, this is a 50 star, 100 star, 1,000 million star book that we need to be reading. Our relationship, and this is the third main point, our relationship with God blossoms and is blessed when we delight in His law, His word, the Bible. And this is what Psalm 1 tells us. He says in this, the writer, He shall be like a tree planted. This is the person who meditates day and night in the word. Like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Here, notice, first a tree planted. That means this tree is cared for. Somebody has placed it next to the rivers of water because he wants it to grow. He wants it to bear fruit. And God cares for us. If we are reading His scripture, we are planted in a good place. By rivers of water means well cared for, brought into good providential conditions. And notice this, it would be enough for a tree to be planted by one river of water, but this is plural, planted by rivers of water. This tree is put in a really great place. And when we as Christians are reading and loving God and following His Word, God's providence is going to bless us. Now, some people think, well, that means we're going to be rich or wealthy, or no. That means that we are going to be blessed in an even better way. We will be made more and more like Christ. We will become like Christ. Romans 8:28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For who before knew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That is the good. That is the prosperity that we have. That's what all the rivers of water that come near us are trying to do. They're making us all the providence of God, whether it be good things, you know, blessings that happen to us, or evil, difficult things. They are all to make us more like Christ. They're all pushing us that way. And that's what the Word of God tells us. When we study this, we realize God is working for a higher good than just our outward prosperity. He's working for this good, that we would be more like Jesus. And Jesus went through the cross. And that was very difficult. And when He puts us on our own little crosses, He's making us more like Him. That's why Paul says he wanted to know the fellowship of the resurrection and the fellowship
in Philippians 3 of Christ's sufferings. He had gotten to a point of maturity that he knew that God was using these things to bring him closer to his Lord, to God's Son. And he was being made more and more like him. Notice also, this tree is planted for. It's planted by rivers of water. It bears fruit in season. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such are no laws. This tree, a wonderful tree. I drew a picture on it of it on the front. This is my art. So it may not be as good as G.I. Williamson's, but it's in color and his is not. So, but the tree bears fruit in season, and it says, and prospers. It prospers according to God's law. And everything, it says, and whatever he does shall prosper. As I said already, not necessarily materially prosper, but that doesn't mean it doesn't mean he won't materially prosper. God said to Joshua, a very similar thing, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. We have success in God's eyes when we study this word, when we meditate on it day and night. Now, those who do not delight in God's law, who do not understand it, who do not fulfill its purposes, God has created them, and yet God has a different attitude towards these. He says in verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Chaff was the outer kernel of the wheat. It wasn't good for food. It wasn't good for really anything. And they used to throw up the wheat in these little rooms, and the wind would blow through. And as the wind blew through, the chaff was blown away. The wheat would, because it was heavier, fall to the ground. And the chaff was gotten rid of that way. It was taken out of what was good. And he's saying that's what the ungodly are like. They are like that chaff, which is blown away. Just like the light bulb, after it's no longer lighting, we just toss it away. And so note, this is number 4. Note, the godly, those who delight in God's law and fulfill their purpose, have a different final destination than those who rebel against God and His law. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There are no burned out light bulbs or virus-filled computers that are kept. And people who are not fulfilling their purpose, they're not glorifying God, they're not enjoying Him, they're saying, we don't want rules, we don't need the Bible, we will live our own way. There will none of them be in heaven. But yet God can prepare these. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11 says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. We can be healed from our uselessness. We can be healed from our sins. That's what the blood of Christ does. It repairs us, not just that we might be forgiven of sins, but that we might be cleansed and then restored to our purpose, that we might glorify God again. Jeremiah 6:14, and I'll preach on this some tonight, says, they have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. There is a false teaching prevalent today, as
was in Jeremiah's day. False prophets are telling people they don't need to repent. They don't need to change. They don't need God or Jesus or God's word. And they call this love. They're telling the burned out light bulbs, you don't need the light. You don't need to be changed. God loves you anyway. They're wrong. There's no loving. There's no more loving than telling a man who's running full speed towards a cliff to stop. Or if you tell him to keep going, you're definitely wrong. We need such in our lives. John 14:15 says, if you love God, if you love me, Jesus says, keep my commandments. And if we love God, we will want to keep his commandments. When we fail to keep his commandments, we will be like Peter, who when he saw Jesus after he denied him three times was weeping. And we must weep for our sins when we fail to obey him. Well, let us pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your law and your word. And Father, we thank you that when we have gone astray, when we have failed, when we are not right with you, you desire to repair us and to bring us back to that calling that we have, to glorify you and to enjoy you forever. And Father, we pray that we would desire that as well. We pray that you would fix us, that you would help us, that we might desire to glorify you in all that we do, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, that we would do it to your glory. And Father, that we would desire, as this is your rule in the scripture on how we do that, that you would give us hearts to be attentive to it. Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, we pray more and more that it will be rich and powerful in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.